Hey guys, this is Kirk Smith. My comedy show is back this January 6th at 8 p.m. The show This Is Crazy is in Santa Monica at the Westside Comedy Theater. You can click for the description for details how to get $5 tickets. I hope to see you all there and enjoy this week's episode of Autastic.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Autastic. I have been making... Kirk's making fun of me.
No, that's not true.
Welcome, again, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. If this is your first episode, we are a podcast. This is a comedian's guide to autism.
That's right.
And I'm... we're both comedians. I'm Graham Kay, and over there, that's...
I'm Kirk Smith.
Yeah. We're both comedians, like I said, and we both have autistic family members.
That's right.
My brother is autistic, and his son is autistic. And we don't claim to be scientists.
This isn't science.
Just two guys trying to figure it out like you guys.
Two slightly dumber guys figured it out like you guys.
If you want to tune into somebody, two guys who are less intelligent than you talk about something.
It should make you feel good about your life. Like, I'm not that guy.
Anyway, I'm excited for this show.
We got a good week here.
We got a great show lined up.
We got a great show.
And a lot of interesting topics, and I'm very excited for our guest. We're getting a lot of guests lately. We're on a guest
kick. I think it's good.
We'll
mix it up. Yeah. A little estrogen in here, too. It's good.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm excited. Smart, funny guest. We will intro her coming up after the first couple segments. First segment, as you know, listeners, Week in Review. Also, we have a new segment called Graham's Car Troubles. We've done two weeks in a row where I've been late and the guest has had to wait. And
I know.
You just made them coffee because of my car.
It's true.
I had to wait in the street. My car wouldn't start because I bought an aftermarket radio.
I think the disturbing part is some people have written in and been like, that's my favorite segment of the show.
Yeah.
Like, well, I hope we'll get more successful and Graham won't be driving a car that doesn't start every day.
We'll do like an offshoot podcast, like the Jeffersons were to All in the Family, and just Graham's Car Troubles. If you liked Autastic.
You're going to love like, Graham's Car is a piece of crap.
Graham's Car is a piece of crap. Anyway, my girlfriend, who is still with me for the next few days.
Yahoo!
Until she leaves me because of my car. We're like all set to go here, and you know, and it wouldn't start. And Kirk bought me this little thing, this little device that boosts my car on its own.
You can jump your car on your own. Yeah, you don't need somebody else's help.
And I think I left. I don't know. It's not working anymore. I probably use it too many times. I think it's not meant to. It's not meant for every time you want to start your car.
Twice a day for
the
rest of your life.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's like a once a year thing, not twice a day. And it's not working anymore. So I had to like flag down this like nice lady. And she had like a nice Mercedes.
Ooh.
And we had to figure out how to open the hood because her car's from the future.
She's never opened it probably.
No, it works. It works because she bought it so it would work. Not like me.
But your car looks good. The important thing is you look good in that car.
Car is a lot like me. It looks great, you know, and breaks down a lot. So...
We went out last night, Graham and I, That's Graham said that, and everybody at the table laughed for 5 minutes. That was the funniest. I don't know why it struck
funnier
so funny.
Last time. Anyway, so that's what's happening. That's why I'm late. We boosted my car. I drove here. I hope to God it starts.
Let's go start.
After this, yeah. Yep.
Let's do the old Week in Review.
Week in Review.
Let's do this.
So you have an anecdote from your
trip?
Yeah,
I was thinking about this the other day. I just got back from Sweden. If you listened to the last podcast, I got back like 6 days ago. Is that right, maybe?
Mm-hmm. And, it's still technically a week in review.
Technically, yeah. And I packed in my suitcase towels. They make these disinfectant wipes that are like kind of like baby wipes, but they're like for wiping down counters and stuff.
Everybody with an autistic child who's listening to this podcast
knows exactly
what you're talking about.
So I packed those in my carry-on,
mm-hmm.
just in case my bags didn't make it. Like mm-hmm. that happens. So I packed all mm-hmm. this stuff. My buddies were like, what are you packing all this? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what is going to await me when I get off the plane. With this kid, it's been a kid, 17-year-old man. It's always something. I don't know. So I brought mountain towels because I've been there before where he's had an incident and everything's covered in
poop. And so like, I'm kind of a germ weirdo. So like, I'd like to have my own towels where I don't get pink eye. So mm-hmm. I brought my own towels. I brought my own wipes. Sure enough, fly, I don't know what it is, 11 hours to London. Mm-hmm. And then 2.5 hours to Sweden. They live up in the north. So it's like a 3.5 hour drive after you rent a car. Try to find parking. They live in downtown Sundsvall. No
good
parking. Accent.
You really pronounce that wonderfully.
I'm more worldly than you realize. Don't let the skinny jeans fool you. I get up there. Her cousin's watching him, and it's midnight. Hey, how's JJ? Oh, he's good. He's in the room. He says this while he's staring at the television, just like watching some Swedish.
The guy who's supposed to be watching.
Yeah. The Swedish television, by the way, is excellent. I don't know how 9 million people have such high production value, and everybody's good looking. Every commercial.
Well, that makes sense.
Like, who is that?
Yeah.
Oh, she's the girl selling biscuits. Mm. Okay. Anyway, he's fine. Okay, I'm gonna go. Okay. I go and look in the room. He's taking a dump in the bedroom on the floor. Mm-hmm. And I think I've told you this before. He's like 230. He's bigger than me. It's like picking up poop after somebody who's bigger than you is like... But I had all my wipes. I had everything ready. So
carry on.
Straight to it. I got my stuff.
Thanks for watching him, pal.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Pace yourself on the Swedish soaps. And how about keeping an eye and tell him to go to the toilet? So, so that's like a... I was asking Graham if this is too gross of a story, but this is based on our listeners.
I'm sure a lot of people can relate to that. Yeah, I mean, it's like, just something you have to just deal with.
Yeah.
And you have to just, you know that something might happen, so you have to bring wipes.
Yeah, and his mom was like, she was like, how was it? And I was like, well, he greeted me with, and he's like, oh, he hasn't done it like in 3 or 4 months, which figures. It's like Murphy's Law.
It's nice to know he's excited to see you.
Oh, and then he wouldn't sleep all night because he was excited. He was excited to see me. So that's really nice. He stayed up all night. It was nice. I was exhausted because it was... 20 hours to get there, and I just wiped up poop. But I had all my gear, so I was excited. So it was,
that's great, man.
It was fun. And it wasn't on the bed, so small victories.
Yeah.
It was just on the floor, well, which is nothing.
He was excited.
Sharing is caring.
Yeah. It's getting better.
It's getting better.
Mm-hmm.
He's getting better. The poops are getting bigger, he's getting better.
Is he getting better? Do you see any progression, or do you think that...
Well, he had some things... Where the
because you get to see it because you haven't.
I see him every couple months or something. Yeah, so you get
you
see the progress.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like he's starting to calm down. And we talked about this one time where, as a teenager, you're going through, you got a lot of hormones going on, you got a lot going on.
Yeah.
And so I think he's starting to hit that where I don't know if he's getting better or he's just starting to just relax and be more comfortable in his own skin and have his little routine. He's in a great school.
Mm-hmm.
So that always helps him when he's busy. Keeping him busy is like an important thing.
He's like anybody else.
Yeah. You got to feel like you contribute.
Well, you got to feel busy. You just get bored. You get anxious.
For sure.
You know.
How about you? Now, we have a segment with the listeners. This segment's called Letters from Peter.
Yeah.
It's called Letters from the Heart.
We worked really hard at finding a title for this. And we narrowed it down to Letters from Peter.
Or emails from Peter.
Yeah.
That were too obvious.
I think letters is nice.
Letters is much nicer.
It's like he's penning them at a table.
I love
with
it.
A lamp.
With ink blotter.
instead of his Spider-Man themed desktop from 2005. But
so this is a segment that is Letters from Graham's Autistic Brother, where the PS is always longer than the body of the message.
Yeah. 9 out of 10 times the PS is the body.
Take it away.
But this is a little note. This isn't a full one, and then I'm going to read another one. So he wrote, Hey, big bro, Graham. Or should I say Apu? Because I'm Apu from The Simpsons, and he is Sanjay. Sanjay is the brother of Apu.
Yeah,
on The Simpsons.
I like it.
We like to do like the voices.
I get it.
It's slightly racist. If somebody heard us, they think we're being racist. But it's like, come on. You know, he gets it. Anyway.
He's loud.
He goes, hey, big bro, Graham, or should I say Apu? So for next week, it'll be very wonderful to have you and your babe, Jane.
It's always the babe Jane.
A.K.A. Manjula. Manjula is Apu's wife.
Oh, yeah. It's good Simpsons knowledge, this podcast.
He goes, in Ottawa for this year's Christmas break. From your little bro, Peter, A.K.A. Sanjay. Nice little note.
Nice.
Makes you feel good. So this is checking in. I've been like really busy lately, and he's been calling at bad times, and so he wrote me this, and I feel pretty bad. But he just wants to make sure that we're going to go to dinner. He goes, hey, Graham And for this week, don't forget, you and Jane are both able to make it to Ottawa, so you both can be in Ottawa by the time we can have our next great Christmas break time, just like in last year's of December. From your little bro, Peter. P.S. Also for next weekend, don't forget, this is when you, Jane, and I can meet up with Mike Tomlinson, my high school friend, at the Napoli's Pizza Placement. He's starting to call things placements, which I don't understand. At Napoli's Pizza Placement for 6:30 p.m. so we can share a great pizza, the four of us. But first, we will need to wait until we finish spending our very important time at St. Andrew's Church just before we can meet up with Mike at Napoli's Pizza Placement for 6:30 p.m.
Oh, this is the choir, the Christmas
yeah,
service.
We'll see the Christmas, we got a full day, choir, we're landing, yeah. We're going to the Christmas show, then we're going to Napoli's Pizza, then I got a show.
He's got a busy schedule, this kid. He this does. Kid, this 30-year-old man.
He's 30-year-old man, yeah. But it's good, he's just following up.
It's good.
Yeah. Getting to get some pizza with Mike. I wouldn't see my friend Mike if it weren't for Peter organizing pizza dates.
That's funny, right?
Yeah.
It's great. Yeah, I feel like he's like your social, your press secretary, your social calendar. Right?
Yeah, and it, yeah,
he's putting together your events. It's good.
And he also knows a good pizza.
Does he?
Yeah, he won't take us to crappy pizza.
Oh, no Little pizza. Caesars for you? Huh?
No. We'll go to pizza. We get Napoli's pizza is good for Ottawa pizza anyway. So I'm pretty pumped.
Pizza and beer, that's his thing.
Yeah. Me, Sanjay, Manjula. We're all going.
What's
to get
his
pizza.
Beer? What's his?
He likes Keith's. It's a Canadian beer.
Never heard of that.
Yeah. Okay. It's like Moosehead.
Okay, I've heard of that.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Likes that. He likes to sneak a bunch of beers in when we go to like family events.
He brings them in his pockets?
No. Like he'll we'll go to the fridge and there'll be like a bunch of beers because it's like a family event. And then he'll just be like sitting in his chair drinking tall cans. I've told this before.
No.
They'll be like, well, I'm pretty sure I've told this before on the show, but like last Thanksgiving, he started to like tickle all everyone's girlfriends.
Oh, that part. Yeah.
Yeah. And
start
giving all their boyfriends wet willies. He was like trying to emasculate all the boys and
you told
take
that,
their
yeah.
women. And we look where he was sitting. There was like five empty tall cans.
You didn't tell me the tall cans part. It's all coming together now.
He's such a dude. He just loves beer. Loves it.
That's so funny because beer is such an acquired taste too.
Yeah. But we the thing about him though is, you know, he is an autistic person, so you have to be careful that he, you know, doesn't just become an alcoholic living in, or what is the
person with autism? Yeah, because I don't get the letters.
Did I say person with autism?
Yeah, you said autistic person. And we're supposed to say person with autism.
You're right. He is a person with autism, and he, you know, you have to be careful that he doesn't become an alcoholic living at home drinking six tall cans every night. So, but one thing about him though, and I think it's like that a lot of people who have autism is they follow structure,
routine
really well. So I can tell Peter, look,
only three.
yeah, three exactly. If you're going out, only three.
Because I was gonna say that's not an autism thing. I had to say it to like three friends last night. Listen, man, three. Most comedians are either in the program or soon to be in the program.
Yeah.
The Alcoholics Anonymous program, yeah.
But one thing I like watching Peter is that he is sort of uninhibited, unaffected by a lot of culture. He just is who he is. So I can see a very real version of what I come by honestly. I'm like, oh, I do like booze. Like I'm genetically predisposed to liking
beer. Oh, right.
Beer.
You're thinking he's not marketing. Because
no one's marketing. Yeah, right. Doesn't. So.
So you're saying he isn't falling for the marketing for girls. He just likes girls.
He just likes girls.
That's hard to believe. You think that's just he just likes your girlfriend. That's what you think. Huh? That's an interesting theory. Interesting theory where he tries to tickle the girls without prompting.
Yeah, I can't. No one was angry. I was like, we get it, man.
Listen, man, I grew up in Ecuador where there was very limited marketing in the 80s and we all like to tickle girls. There's nothing special about
one
that.
Time he was like, so when I'm not around, do you ever tickle Jane? Do you ever tickle her?
maybe you could tickle
her. I was like,
right,
sometimes.
Now.
He's like, all right. And then I go, sometimes. He goes, all right.
I like your style, Graham.
Cool. He's like, put that in memory bank.
That's funny.
All right, let's start moving on to the next segment in the news.
The news.
This is a good one. Interesting. I actually, embarrassingly enough, you had to tell me who this person was before the show.
This is great because
this
I feel
an autistic celebrity.
Yeah, yeah. I think the biggest one, Temple Grandin. Yeah, she had the movie made out of her life, based on her life. I think Claire Danes played the lead, I think. Yeah. And so I feel like this podcast is turning into educating Graham about autism in some small way, but in a good way. Mm-hmm. In a good way. It allows for exposition. Like when you do a screenplay, you have one guy who's like, what? I don't get it. Mm-hmm. Do you mean to tell me? And they look directly into the camera and explain the whole plot of the movie.
I know a lot about autism.
I'm busting your chops. You know more than... I think you and I have different experiences on it, though, because you have a much more... You have a better view on it of a not severe person, and I have a more... I don't get letters from my son.
Right.
So I think that's why it's great. Works great. I'd love to get letters from my son. So it's great that you get to like the perspective directly from your brother, and like, he does this, he does this. Yeah. Anyway, I got
Well, autism is such a big spectrum, so yeah, I think it's good.
I think it's great to have both sides. Okay, back to the... I lost track of my own thought. Here we go. Temple Grandin, who has inspired many people around the world by becoming a leader in the world of animal science after overcoming autism. She has a new book out. It's called A Loving Push, where basically she explains how parents and caregivers can help children or adults with autism with this order to thrive. And basically, she says, the quote is, you have to stretch these children just outside of the comfort zone. And we talked about this last week, that all of us, we don't know what our limitations are until you push yourself. And so that's what we're talking about for my son. Like, I don't know what he's capable of doing.
He might be able to write you a letter at some point.
He might.
With enough therapy and...
Yeah.
When you said he could operate an iPad.
Yeah.
He can click through things.
And he can type a computer. He likes laptops. Yeah. He can type. So, in theory, he could write me an email someday that said... had a PS that was longer than the body of the message. I think it's possible. Anyway, that's the purpose of this book. She wrote a new book.
By the way, animal science, if you don't know, is described as studying the biology of animals that are under the control of humankind. Historically, the degree, I guess, in school, so she would have a degree in animal husbandry.
Yeah, I think what she... I was famous for, we were talking about this before, is she helps design the pens that cattle are led through before they're slaughtered so that they don't freak out. Like when they could see a wide open space and they know where they're being led, they would it would be traumatic for them right before they were killed. And so it's a more humane way of treating cattle that we're going to consume. So, you know, if you believe in eating meat, which I do, I think you treat the animals with respect and make it as humane as possible.
And you were saying off air that one of the ways that she was able to design that is she based it on how autistic people feel when they are over-consumed and stressed out by a lot of stimulus that they can see. So they put sort of like a narrow point of view for the cow, so they're not overstimulated.
Yeah, the way I understood it was, and somebody will probably tweet us and
can't see
us,
a guy with a giant knife approaching them.
Right. They can't see where they're going. They don't see 1,000 cows in a row.
Yeah.
The pens are curved, and so you see directly in front of you like 3 feet, and you see the curve of the thing. So it almost hugs you, and you're more of a confined space, and you're not out in the open.
You feel hugged.
You feel hugged, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so that's how... My understanding is that's how she feels best, is when she can see where she's going. And, and so that's where that design comes from. That's my understanding. Somebody could tweet us if I'm missing something here, but I think I'm pretty sure that's how it works.
I wonder, as I learn more about... I mean, obviously I know how my brother is, and I know how his friends are, or the people that are in his group are, that I've taken care of. And I see a lot of similarities between like what autistic people like and what I like. Like, I like to be hugged. When I was a little kid, my dad said that I would open and close a door for hours. That's like something an autistic, my brother would do. And I wonder if there was like residual things in my head, you know?
Well, we talked about this, like you did repetitive behavior, right?
Yeah.
We talked about this where you like to, it was like a little bit OCD where you like to touch things a certain number of times.
Still do that. But I'm not sure if OCD is connected to autism. But I like small spaces. I like to feel... I have a little tiny car because I
do the same thing with small cars. I love small cars.
I like to be cozy. maybe I just like to be cozy. Maybe that's it. Maybe I'm too much of a leap. But I wonder if there is... You know, who knows if maybe I was going to be autistic, but I...
Well, it'd have to be on the mild side.
Broke out
sure.
of it some way. Or maybe there's some genetic similarities between my brother and I, and that they're sort of... They're in the forefront of his brain and they're in the background of mine. I don't know. I'm
well, possibly
because
statistically, if you have one autistic kid with the same parents, mm-hmm. statistically, you can have another one. Mm-hmm. Much more likely than just an average next person.
My brother, kids in his special needs program that he grew up with, have there are twins, identical twins, mm-hmm. that are both the exact same level of autism. And they're like studied, like scientists study from around the world come to study them because it's like...
It's unusual.
Unusual, and I don't know.
Again, we're not scientists.
I think we are now.
If anybody's confused.
I think after 20 episodes of this.
Well, I do have Wikipedia, so. Yeah.
I did just Google animal husbandry.
You have Google. You're a scientist. You know what? If you had Google and you were around in the 1600s and you had Wikipedia and Google, you would be a scientist.
Oh, you'd be the...
You'd be the smartest man in the world.
You would.
Easily.
Unless somebody took your magic box.
Until your phone ran out of juice. Yeah. And then you'd be screwed. But yeah.
And then you'd be burnt at a stake.
Yeah, probably for witchcraft. Yeah. When you try to explain how the phone worked, you'd be dead.
So, what? She has a new book.
Yeah, she has a new book called...
what is her name again? Run it by me again.
Temple Grandin.
Cool
name. She usually dresses in like a Western motif.
Yeah, I like her picture.
She has a lot of cowboy...
Legitimately looks cool.
...inspired stuff. The Loving Push. Which is, it's exactly what we talked about. And to be honest, we all kind of need this a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, where you really push yourself a little bit to try to reach your full potential.
I need a push.
Your car needs a loving push. That's the problem. Your car needs a loving...
Yeah. Excuse me, stranger. Can you push my car so I can get it into gear?
This is for the betterment of my life. Don't be so selfish.
Trying my best, all right?
That car needs a push over a cliff, and you need a new car. That's what we're going to have to do.
Mm.
No, listeners, if you know Temple Grandin, and change the subject back, reach out to her. We'd love to have her on our little show. Get her in our little studio apartment for a recording of an episode.
We'll go to her.
Obviously.
Yeah. We'll go to her.
She might like it. It's confined space. It is small.
Mm.
It's a very small space.
It's cozy in here. I like this apartment. Great neighborhood.
Yeah, the neighborhood's
Kirk nice. Lives in Beverly Hills. That's so cool.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm not going to sign to the microphone like I do every week.
No. So much stress comes.
Because then I have to edit it out every time. I'm the one that does.
You're doing great, bud. We're both doing great. We're figuring it out. Should we move on to our guest?
Let's do it. She's been waiting for an hour and a half now at this point.
Kirk, that's because of my car. Kirk, why don't you do the introductions?
Okay, I was at a comedy club,
mm-hmm.
not bragging, mm-hmm. and...
I'm very excited for this guest, by the way.
And somebody approached me and said, hey, I do this show called This Is Crazy, mm-hmm. which is a show about mental illness and neurodevelopmental disorders. And this lady was like, hey, when's your next show? I'm excited. And I was like, oh, it's coming up. And then she's like, oh, she had an autistic son. And then she was like, this is my friend. She has an autistic son.
Mm-hmm.
And then the friend, oh, nice to meet you. Your friend goes, oh, I have another friend who has an autistic son who just did a one-woman show in Edinburgh.
And cool.
So
like,
let's have her on. So without further ado, Jennifer, help me out with your last name.
Belander.
Belander.
Jennifer Belander, everybody. Thank you very much for coming,
Thank
Jennifer.
You for waiting patiently.
Thank you for having me.
You were at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival?
I was.
And you had a show there?
Yes.
That is not an easy festival, guys, to get in or do. That's a grind. And that's amazing. That's a huge comedic accomplishment. One day I hope to do that.
Tell us the title.
Mamatism. A love story.
Great. Title. She told me that off air.
That's great.
I love that title. Mamatism.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And what was the sort of the synopsis of the one woman show?
Well, basically, you have a lot of times when you're talking to people mm-hmm. and they want to understand more about autism, but they just don't know who to ask or
right.
how to ask. And so they get really apprehensive about, you know, somebody who has an autistic child. They don't want to go up to them in a stressful moment
It'll
going, hey,
rude,
what does
yeah.
this mean? But they do want to understand.
Yeah.
So I decided to write the show as an educational comedy.
Right.
There was some confusion with the critics. Like, does she actually know this is a comedy, or why is she doing it? This is a very serious subject. Why are you not taking the subject seriously?
Exactly. This is sort of the point of this podcast as well. It's like, there's not enough humanity talking.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about autism
in a real manner. You know? We're not making fun of it. We're mm-hmm. not. It's not
yeah.
sad. It's just
mm-hmm.
part of a lot of people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
I had a friend of mine also did a show
mm-hmm.
And I was invited to the National Autistic Society mm-hmm. to perform Momatism for them in England.
Okay.
And it's funny because you guys do comedy. So you mm-hmm. know there's particular audiences that will laugh at certain
Absolutely.
Things.
Absolutely, of course.
And then you'll do the exact same joke in a different place. You're like, ooh, what's going on there?
Of course.
So I did the show at the National Autistic Society, and they were laughing in different places.
Mm-hmm.
And then they weren't laughing. And then I thought, God, they hate me.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend who recommended me for it, she's like, oh, I forgot to tell you. Everybody who works there is on the spectrum. Oh, okay. So I do a lot of things where I translate the autism for the neurotypicals.
Right.
And I get audiences who are on the spectrum combined with audiences who are neurotypical
mm-hmm. yeah.
and they laugh at different places.
Of course.
Because when you do the setup, mm-hmm. which is what we understand, mm-hmm. you know, it's kind of like, well, here's the
do
autistic
bit. Like if you can think of one, like what are you thinking of specifically? I'm dying to know.
Oh God. That
you're putting it on the spot.
I didn't even put you on the spot. Sorry. I'm just curious.
Really?
Yeah. Sorry. I'll edit that part out.
But every time I would do the translation, when I do the setup with the autistic bit, the autistic people would laugh.
Uh-huh.
And then I do the translation and the neurotypicals would
Which
laugh.
Which would be the punchline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. But it was just a really nice sort of balance
mm-hmm.
because I would get people talking to me after the show.
That's
and
cool.
those were on the spectrum like, oh my God, thank you so much for doing the show because now I understand what my mother went through.
Right.
Oh, right.
Oh.
And the neurotypicals right, would come right, up right. and they go, thank you so much for doing the show. Now I understand why my son did what he did.
Wow, right. Cool.
So I had a really nice response.
That's great.
And can you tell us a little bit about your son?
My son is 19. Mm-hmm. He's nonverbal, but he is hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
And he's very tactile. He does, you were talking about your brother and you were talking about your son, where Peter
mm-hmm.
actually will send you letters.
Mm-hmm.
My son will text, but it's not what we think of as conversation.
Right.
But for him, it makes total sense. Like he used to steal my phone and he would text my friend Kate.
Uh-huh.
And what he would text her was Waterloo and...
the words Waterloo.
The word Waterloo. Okay. Yeah. Essentially what he was doing is he was just telling her all of the tube stops from her house to Waterloo Station because that's where we always met her to go fun places.
Right.
So she always knew that it was him texting her rather than
Tube
me.
Stops, yeah.
That's so cute. That's so fun.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So he would do that with people that he knew were my friends.
Yeah.
He'd just send them little texts of random things and they always knew that it was Robbie.
That's cool.
So he's fun.
And does he live, is he here now or is he in the UK?
No, he lives with his dad in uh-huh. Virginia and okay. he goes to the Virginia Institute of Autism.
Oh, cool. So that's great. So he's in like a good program. That's
yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. And I just got to go and meet his teachers last week. So.
Oh, awesome.
That's awesome.
You and Kirk are sort of in the same boat.
I just did that last week.
Yeah.
Too. Went to meet his school, look around.
Oh, yeah.
Meet teachers. Yeah. It's uh-huh. sweet. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
It really, how did it feel for you? For me, it really felt like, I was telling Graham, like I feel a lot of guilt that I'm not physically there, but I felt great that it was like the best for my son, for everybody's different.
Yeah.
My son, for right now, for this situation, mm-hmm. was the best I thought he could have.
Yeah, because his dad and I aren't together anymore. And mm-hmm. one of the concerns was, at the time that we split up, Robert was physically bigger than me.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. when he would have behavioral challenges, mm-hmm. I couldn't.
Yeah, I'm 6'2",
you know,
200, right. and my son's bigger than me.
Yeah. yeah. And the other concerns that we had was like, when I take him out in public, and I just had this when I had him in Virginia yeah. this week, but I can't take him into the men's room.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So unless there's a disabled toilet or there's a family toilet,
mm-hmm.
they were very nice. Yep. They blocked off the ladies' sure. toilet for me so that I could take him in.
Right.
But he does this thing when he goes into the stall, he takes off his shoes, he takes off his socks, he takes off his trousers.
Yep.
So
Gotta
it's a long time for him
yeah.
to be there.
Yeah.
But I can't just let him go into the men's room.
Yeah, yeah.
He's very vulnerable that
yeah.
way.
Right.
And I can't follow him in.
Right.
You know, that's a good point. Like, I thought about this before. How is there not more family toilets? Like, it can't cost that much money at a grocery, wherever, to have
yeah.
to have a toilet that if there's an older person and he needs help,
mm-hmm.
or if there's a child, or if there's a handicapped yep. person, or handy able, or whatever you're supposed to say, or my son, because I have the same, I can't a lot of times fit in a stall with my son. If he needs,
right.
I gotta be in there.
There's not enough space for the two
yeah,
of you.
I can't have him stick
yeah.
his hand in the toilet. Like, who knows what could happen? Like,
yeah.
Right.
He knows how to go to the bathroom, but if I gotta be in there. Okay, let's go wrap it up.
Just because they know
minutes,
how doesn't mean they're gonna
exactly.
cooperate.
yeah.
And then I have to be like, And there's something a little bit weird. A grown man makes eye contact with you and takes a dump. But I have to like, the only thing worse than that is when a grown man makes eye contact, he takes a dump, and then you have to clean it up. That's worse.
Well,
sorry, a little bit of a gallows humor there. But yeah, you got to be in there because otherwise it's like he takes a poop and then he's just daydreaming.
That's
like,
a okay, really
let's
interesting.
Go, let's go, bro. Let's wrap it up.
Well, you know, it's kind of that. It's my private time. You just happen to be along for the ride.
And it just happens right. to be in a public toilet at a baseball game. Yeah. I get that, but yeah.
It's a nice thing is a lot of times they just don't care. Like you were saying about the, it's not a lack of awareness. It's just, I'm not influenced by these outside things.
Well, it doesn't seem like he's worried about judgment.
No. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things I absolutely love about my son is he's got no inhibitions and he's got no sense of shame. Which is a wonderful thing because those are things that we learn.
It's one of the things, yes, it's one of the things that stresses, that is the biggest stress in my life are those things. One of the biggest things. I'm always worried and stressed. I mean, it's, I don't know.
I think I told you this. My son now comes to me, he's 17, and asks to masturbate. Did I tell you that already?
No.
Yeah, maybe we save it for a different episode, but.
But it's very polite.
Yeah, it's very courteous.
Yeah.
And, but he's not embarrassed, but he's just like, he comes, then I'm like, okay, go to your room. Because we had this whole thing, like not in the store.
Yeah.
Not while we're walking down the street.
Yeah.
Not when there's guests over.
But he can do that. Like he knows he won't do it in the store. He won't do it walking down the street.
Well, he'll come and ask. So I'll be like, no.
That's great.
Yeah.
Wait. Go home to your own bedroom. Do the privacy of your home like everybody else.
Peter's friend Chris got caught doing it on the bus because he couldn't do that.
Because he didn't ask. If Chris had asked me, I would have told him, no, you need to wait till you get home.
See, now I wonder how much of that is autism and how much is just being a man.
We talked
like,
about that.
Wouldn't you just want to if you could?
We talked about that.
Yeah?
It's almost
I don't
like,
know if I'd want to do it in public, but I...
But you get that impulse?
Well...
Occasionally?
Maybe.
You were saying Chris saw a woman...
18 is tough for a guy.
Yeah.
You were saying Chris saw a woman and then was aroused, which is pretty normal.
Yeah.
You just don't take that next step where you take action.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm not making fun. Just.
No. It's sort of what I was talking about, Peter. It's like he's not influenced by... This is like what a guy would be if he didn't
there
have
no societal
this. But it also shows great awareness and sensitivity that he asked because, maybe it's not appropriate for other people. They don't want to see it.
He cares what you think.
Well, you asked me, is it getting better? Yes, because there was a time when he would just masturbate and now he'll come and ask me. So he knows. I've told him enough times, no, you can't do that now.
That's great, Kirk.
So that's great. Now it's on my checklist of I approve people to masturbate. Yeah. So, not bragging, but I have a lot of power.
Wow.
I say don't masturbate, people don't masturbate. I say go ahead, masturbate, they go into their rooms and masturbate.
Yeah.
I'm not bragging, but I have a lot going on for me.
I had to go hide when I was a kid. Yeah, that's great. I had so much shame when I was a kid when I did that. Now imagine I said, Dad, cannot eat. Okay, good. And he's just completely unencumbered.
Well, it's good for, to be honest, it's good for both of us because I get tired walking in on them. So like, if you ask me, then you get your 20 minutes. I'm not going to check on you for a while.
It's great.
Yeah. And then you have your sense of privacy.
Yeah.
Well, and that was something when I was together with my now ex, we had an open door policy, things like, because Robert would have a hard time learning things.
Mm-hmm.
So the toilet. You know, he has to know how it works. So, okay, here I am. But you have the equipment that he has. So you have to let him watch you be standing up, that kind of thing.
I used to make him watch.
And then, you know, when he would walk in on us, my ex would get a little bit freaked out.
You mean during sex? Or are you talking about? Okay. You didn't say that. So I'm like, what's happening?
But you caught it. I think your listeners would have caught on. It was fine.
I was following. I wasn't like, what?
What are you talking about?
Moving furniture?
I'm really dumb.
Yes, when we were moving furniture. That's what we'll call it from now on. So when we were moving furniture,
our son
would walk in on us. My ex would get freaked out and have that sense of shame. It's like, oh my gosh, I'm like, no. We love each other and we love him and there's no sense of shame in this. If we get freaked out, then he's going to get freaked out and we're going to teach him that sense of shame, which he doesn't need.
How long do you let him in the room? How does that work?
Well,
too personal. We can edit this too. I'm curious though. Like we didn't do it that way.
This.
What did you do?
We locked the door because all I need is him just hanging out in there. I'm not going to be able to.
So you locked his door?
No, we go in our own bedroom and lock the door in the master bedroom or whatever.
Well, see, he had no sense of danger either, so we had to kind of keep an eye on him.
We had to have
him.
A lock on the front door.
Yeah.
And we'd lock the front door, and then you'd hear him like, okay, he'd be at our door knocking, come in. So, and then when he knocks, we'd say, come in. So he'd like knock and go, come in, come in, come in, come in. It's like, sometimes you can hurry up and finish and be like, all right, okay, okay, yeah. All right, give me a second. All right, I'm coming. But what's the alternative? You don't have sex?
There is no alternative. I think you do the
best. That's the best you can do, yeah.
I have a question for you, and I don't. I mean, you know what the answer is. I don't. Why would you not teach him shame? Would he be better served knowing that there is shame attached to that, so he wouldn't be doing that in public? Maybe shame is a good thing for him to learn.
Well, how do you teach
but
him
what
consent?
Was your thinking behind saying, like, maybe I didn't follow?
No, you're...
Or maybe I'm done.
But my question then to you is, mm-hmm. is shame really useful?
Well, I guess to not get arrested, it's useful.
To not get arrested, but you can teach that's not appropriate.
Right.
As opposed to, that's wrong and you're bad.
Right.
That's just not appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
We don't do that in public. That's mm-hmm. not what we do here.
Okay, I made a joke, but I was also serious. So what would you do? You'd be like, okay, you saw it, now get out. Or what do you do? Like, how long does he stay? Or you wait till he meanders around and leaves on his own?
Oh, no, we would tactfully have him leave.
Okay,
so sometimes
you would say, okay, yeah, it's all yeah. that. Okay.
Like, oh, wait, you know.
I'm sorry, it's just like...
You're like, that, I need to know.
Yeah.
I am not letting this go.
Sorry, yeah.
I assumed they didn't continue.
Well, I don't know.
Well, no, sometimes he would, because he also
Everybody's
used
so
to,
different, man. I'm like, hey, who knows?
He would want to climb into the bed as
that's
well. It's like, okay.
Someone come and jump on the bed.
Yeah.
And so,
but that's a normal kid thing.
You have to do the wrap and tuck.
That's what
thing.
I'm saying. I'm on top of his mom.
I'm sure I did that to my parents.
You do the
Sorry,
wrap
mom
and
dad,
tuck,
if you're
and
listening.
Then you reach down and you get your pants and you put them on.
Right.
Okay, yeah, because I had more than once. I'm on top. Not more than once. At least once. I remember specifically. I'm on top. He comes running, flying, leap because the bed is a place like a trampoline.
Of course,
it's a trampoline. So he would do a running, flying, leap, land on my back, crush my ex. Yeah, and then I'm like, okay, get off. Fun time's over. And he thinks it's fun because the bed bounces, so it's like a trampoline.
Sure.
It's fun times over for dad, for sure. We've never talked about this stuff.
No, this is excellent. Good for you. I'm sure that's happened to my parents. I'm sure Peter did that to my parents. I'm sure. I just think it lasts longer with someone with autism.
Mm.
Let me ask you this. Oh, go ahead. Were you going to ask something, Graham?
No.
Okay, so we're two guys. Mm-hmm. So obviously, at least me, I come from my perspective's always the dad side because that's my experience 100%. And I'm not bright enough to put myself in your shoes. So talk to us a little bit about being the mom of an autistic kid. If our listeners have listened to 20 episodes of Guys, talk to us about
the other
side
of
it. What's that?
A person with autism.
Yeah. Sorry. A person with autism, yeah.
I was talking to Kurt earlier about there was another show in Edinburgh the year before mine,
mm-hmm.
and it was done by John Williams, and his show was called My Son's Not Rain Man,
mm-hmm.
and his was very much from the perspective of a dad,
mm-hmm.
and that experience. And I think there's something about the masculine experience where you have a child, this is supposed to be your name carrier. This is supposed to be the one that you know, will go
you
forth.
Have all these
and
dreams that die for this kid.
Yeah.
I wrote a book and one of the chapters is about that, yeah.
Yeah, and so there's that feeling of loss and failure, mm-hmm. and all that's attached.
Carrying the family name
more
or
so,
whatever.
Yeah, and I think it... I don't want to speak for all men or all women, but I think there is a gender bias with that where... With John's show, it was very much, my son's broken, fix him.
Right.
Mm.
And with mine was, I don't know any different.
Right.
Like, my experience of being a mom is being the mother of a person with autism.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So when people are like, isn't it really hard for you? It's like, well, no, because that's all I know.
Right.
Do you have a neurotypical child?
I don't.
Okay. We're just talking. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
We tried to have other kids. That didn't happen. Okay. But so I'm very lucky in the fact that this is my experience. This is what I know.
Mm-hmm.
And when we got the diagnosis, my ex was very, I don't know, he was heartbroken, and he had a really hard time, where with me, I was like, finally, it has a name.
Yeah.
Excellent. So yeah. They're not
I
looking
felt
at
like
me.
That too.
Yeah.
So you don't feel like a crazy person.
You're yeah.
Like, oh no, something's clearly slightly, I don't say off, but different. Mm. So.
Well, when our son was born, I actually thought he was deaf.
Right. We tried that too. So we did the specific hearing
test. Same thing
test.
With Peter.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah.
They did that with me too, by the way.
You just don't listen.
I wasn't going to say that. I don't know you well enough.
No. It would have been funnier for you. You're a girl. You just don't
you
listen.
I like how you knew right away. Oh boy, I'm working myself.
But we, you know, I had this, you know, child who just wasn't behaving the way that the children that I babysat for behaved. Yep. And you just kind of noticed that not only was he not, you know, you do the little jangly keys and they go, oh, what's that? And they turn right. their head towards it. He wasn't doing that. And then you could do it in his periphery and he still wasn't turning his head. And yep. then you would, I would drop coins in front of him. And when he was in that sort of looking at the angels,
spacing out, we call
sort
it,
of
yep,
thing. Yeah.
Whatever,
yeah. Yeah. So I noticed quite early, and then I would take him in and say, something's not quite right. Something's
right.
not,
yeah, yeah.
You know, I didn't, you and hesitate to use the word normal, but something's not normal.
And he's not, and he's 19, so this is 20 years ago. So it's, I feel like now they would be more.
Yeah. Well, now there's a lot. And that's one of the things in the show I talk about, mm-hmm. because now I have friends who have kids that are 10 years younger than mm-hmm. Robert, and they have the luxury of going, just Google it.
Right.
You know, if you want to know more about it, just
right.
Google it.
We
20 years
this.
Ago,
you didn't have Google when you
there was no Google.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Now everybody has a computer in their pocket.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody has access to the internet immediately, whereas there was no internet.
Mm-hmm.
So I learned from
Google. I saw a man at the store, a young kid, and he was flapping his arms around, and you'd probably three links away and you'd figure it out.
Yeah.
Whereas before that was like
flapping arms.
Flapping arms. Yeah. If you Googled flapping arms, I bet you could piece mm-hmm. it back together. Yeah.
Absolutely.
You could just Google in some of the, not symptoms, but some of the behaviors that you see, and people would figure it out.
Yeah.
That's changed a lot. Yeah. Tell us more about the show real quick. Are you going to do that anywhere else out here? You have any plans?
I actually am. I've had to move back to the United States after 15 years in England.
Wow.
So it's a little bit weird. And I know. I really enjoyed it, but the UK government went, no, you got to go now. So I actually live in Westwood with a friend of mine who has an autistic nonverbal child as well.
Oh, wow.
So she was trying to get me to come and do the mm-hmm. show for, well, I think 2 or 3 years now. And I finally had to come back. She went, you can do the show now. So I am looking forward to doing it here. I thought there might be a little bit of translation where I had to change things, but mm-hmm. I came back to the States and I watched a bunch of documentaries on autism, and really sadly there hasn't been many changes,
right.
and the experiences, because they're so personal,
mm-hmm.
that is universal anyway.
Absolutely.
So
yeah.
I don't really have to change the show much at all, just
no.
for an American audience.
Is there a way that our audience could find you? Do you have a
I do have a Twitter account.
Okay.
It's at Momatism.
Great.
So MOMMAUTIS M.
That's it.
Great.
Follow at Momatism. Also, you can follow at Kirk Smith Comedy. You can also follow at Graham K Comedy. You can also follow this podcast, Autastic, guys. You can also find us on Facebook. You can email us at autasticpodcast@gmail.com. Most importantly, you can subscribe and listen to us on iTunes, guys. You guys are the best.
One more shameless plug. January 6th, the show This Is Crazy, our show about mental illness and neurodevelopmental disorders,
awesome.
Is back. Put that on your calendar. And then February 1st, mm-hmm. My one-man show in Australia at the Comedy Fringe Festival in Perth. Start looking for tickets for that.
Awesome.
February 1st.
Yeah. Fly to Australia. Fly to
We have a few, surprisingly, a few listeners in Australia. Yeah, yeah.
I know that. Guys, you guys are awesome. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. And thank you so much to our lovely guest.
Thank you for having me.
Mm-hmm.
Good job.
And you all, by the way, have a very good radio voice. Sounds great in the cans here. All right. Thanks very much, guys. Take care.